How's it going today? We kick off a new series in about 2 weeks, and we're doing an outreach with that. And we thought it would be kind of a better time than the day after tomorrow weather that we've been having, the new ice age, to maybe kick something new off and invite some new folks out. So for the next 2 weeks, I get to speak about whatever I want. And I know some of our team get nervous about that, but I want to put your mind at ease. I'm not going to be bringing up topics like why Jesus hates cats and we should too, or it's not okay to be in denial if you're rooting for a bad sports team. I'll save those deeper things for when our church is new, a little less new to this location. But for the next couple weeks, I get to share some things that I wanted to share. We're going to have a good time with that. And you're probably wondering why I'm wearing a trash bag over my clothes. When I was a kid, I had this amazing opportunity to go to a place called SeaWorld. Anybody ever heard of SeaWorld? Been to SeaWorld? Now, maybe after the show you watched like I did the other night, you question that. But back then, it was just really a cool experience. I got to go to the one where they filmed Jaws 3D and the movie that made me afraid to swim in pools by myself. And I had to stop watching River Monsters just so I can keep water skiing, because I don't like anything that I can't see touching me in the water, right? I mean, like, you just I don't get into that. So, but I get to go through the shark tunnel, and I got to do all that kind of stuff. And as I got into the arena where the show takes place, there were different levels of seats, and there were seats that were high up, and I noticed a lot of people that were maybe dressed nicer were back there, and they were enjoying that. And I began to see the color coding, and then I began to see words on the seats. And I saw words like splash zone, and as a kid, that's where I wanted to be, man. So I wanted to be in the splash zone, but my dad did not want to be in the splash zone. But everybody in the splash zone looked like that, like this. And you could sit anywhere you wanted, but it was all this observation. It was all about observation. And I'm going to move out of the lighting so you'll forgive me for just a moment. But I think that in Christianity, we've made a lot about it. Am I going to reverb on you, man? Am I good? Okay. Keep moving. I think we've made a lot about observation. We've made it observational. And in doing that, we've lost a lot of the essence of what Jesus was talking about. So some of us are like, we're like up in the splash zone. Like we're up here observing things, and it's kind of cool. And we're not, you know, it's getting us wet and everything's fun. And some of us are further back, and, you know, we're just observing. Now what I'm not saying, and I'm going to try to get this off without killing myself. I probably need some help, but okay, there we go. Keep going. Sorry for all the distraction. But what I'm not saying is it's bad to enjoy a church service. Is that what we're saying? I hope that every service we have is engaging. I hope that every service you come to, there's a blessing for you, because church gatherings are meant to equip you and offer a chance to serve. That's what they're for. It is to learn about Jesus and build the body, so you create these opportunities to encourage and equip and serve one another, and then especially serve outside the walls. And God uses those conferences, all of that kind of stuff. But most of us had modeled for us this observational type Christianity, where we just kind of remain. And it's okay for it to be observational when you're investigating Jesus, to begin to, you don't know what this thing's about, if you're like me, I would not be sitting in the front row when I began to investigate Jesus. I didn't either. I wanted as far away from this stage as possible, and it was just about learning for me at that point. Began reading the Bible, and months later, I personally accepted Christ. But there's a lot of us that have accepted Jesus Christ. A lot of Christians, not maybe even here, but they've accepted Christ and they continue to just be observing. They're great at observation. They're great at troubleshooting. They actually become great critics. They become great Monday morning quarterbacks, and eventually, sometimes even great gossips, unfortunately. Others of us, we sit in the splash zone and we watch other people with their spiritual life, and we don't know what it's about because we haven't really maybe been grounded, and we just think it's supposed to be these splashes of blessing, and that's kind of all it's about. So after this thing's over, we're kind of lost with what to do. And what I want to create for you today with ADD is a different dialogue, just a different dialogue. I want you to look at a conversation where it all began. And I want to encourage you as a Jesus follower to really consider this moment. And I want you to look at this with me. If you're not a Jesus follower, it's going to be even greater for you. Look at Matthew 4 with me. And let's go to verse number 18. Thank you. As Jesus was walking by Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net into the lake because they were fishermen. Jesus said, "Come follow me, and I will make you fish for people." It's kind of a weird statement. So Simon and Andrew immediately left their nets and followed him. As Jesus continued walking by the Lake Galilee, he saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of a guy named Zebedee. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. Jesus told them to come with him, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed Jesus. This is the beginning of Christ's ministry. This is before the water to wine. I mean, this is ground zero. And when you go back and revisit it, most Christians, because, and I'm this way too, you just say, okay, that's where Jesus began calling the disciples. And it's kind of like you really don't investigate any more further than that. And you just kind of leave it at that. But he makes this weird statement, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Let me show you this other verse in Mark from an older version that I think may just kind of help solidify. Look at this with me. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole, that's not the one I wanted. Okay, so I gave you the wrong verse. Sorry about that. It was Mark 4. But the statement was, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. When Jesus called these followers, he just asked them to follow him. And it seems really weird. It's like, all right, I'm not a follower of Jesus. What's that mean for me? And it's going to be good news for you. You say, Jamie, I am a follower of Jesus, and things are muddy for me. And any follower of Jesus knows that it gets muddy in the beginning. But what he did in this amazing statement, he comes up to them and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The version that I messed up on the reference is, follow me, and I will make you to become. I'm going to mold you and help you to become something. He begins with this awesome attitude, and I love this. This is when I revisited this story, and I thought about observational Christianity, because my mind, if you don't know me, is very nonlinear. Like other pastors, like this thing hits them, like I'll be listening to a song, like that'll be a great message idea. And then I start like starting to find it in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, I'm like, it's a cool thought, but it didn't work. And so like my mind begins to think about observational Christianity. I thought about SeaWorld, but then I've revisited this story and I began to see stuff that I maybe had seen, but at least overlooked. Jesus begins with this awesome attitude. You don't have to know it all to answer the call. You don't have to know it all. Like, Jesus is calling. And sometimes, you know, when you don't know Jesus' number and he's calling, he's like, hey, I'd really love to be a part of your life. I died and rose again to be a part of your life. You're like, what? Are you a telemarketer? What's going on? You know, and it's really strange. And then after you've gotten a few calls to your heart from Jesus Christ or to your mind from Christ, you kind of maybe sometimes will turn down the music or you'll send it to voicemail or whatever. But what I want you to look at this, Jesus makes the specific call, and we're at the very beginning. We are talking about dudes who were fishermen. You ever been around fishermen? Ever been fishing? Ever been fishing when the fish weren't biting? There's not a lot of worship going on. God's name's thrown around, but it's not in praise and worship, okay? So he comes up to them with this amazing attitude to these people that know very little, if nothing, about faith. You don't have to know it all to answer the call. And he was saying, you don't have to know it all to investigate me, Jesus is saying. You don't have to know it all to believe on Jesus. You don't have to know it all to serve Jesus. You don't have to know it all to help someone else discover Jesus. You don't have to know it all to begin to learn about Jesus. I think we avoid so much for what God has for us. And I think like a lot of times people, especially pastors, it'd be like, because you don't want to do what he says and all that kind of thing. And sometimes that's true. That's true for all of us. I think a lot of times, though, is that we are afraid that we're not going to have the right answers. We're not going to feel spiritual. We're not going to know what to do with it. And we don't understand that we don't have to figure all that out. We just have to say, listen, Jesus is coming at me with the right attitude, and I'm beginning to follow him. These questions and these tough moments and these uncertain moments never end. You'll always be put in a situation where you don't have all the answers. No one goes through life making great decisions all the time. And I love that he approaches these guys. He says, you don't have to know it all. You don't have to be a theologian. He didn't go to the seminary. He didn't go to the synagogue. He went to some guys fishing that did not know him. And he said, follow me. Because you don't have to know it all to answer the call. I was at the doctor. I went to a new doctor. He's working with my doctor to try to get my body where it should be and my health where it should be. And I went in to this guy, and we began talking, and I wasn't maybe in the spot for his sense of humor or whatever at the time, and we began to talk, and he did that thing that all people are worried about. It's not just with the Bible. He throws out a question that I know I'm not going to be able to give the right answer to, right? You ever been there? Maybe the job, somebody's just trying to pull one over on you when they show how much they know or whatever the case may be. So he sets me up. He goes, I know you're a pastor, but a theologian came to me and he shared something with me, and he began to quote these verses, and I automatically, like my mind scrambling, because I know he's going to try to ask me a question that I'm not going to get the answer to. He's already setting me up for failure. He kind of told me the antagonistic line that like most pastors believe about this passage, that he's going to enlighten me. And that's the way he approached it. And halfway through what he was doing, I finally engaged. And it was kind of like figuring out the movie before it's over. Like when we saw Sixth Sense, my wife and I leaned over to her when he's on the park bench. And I said, I think he's dead. You know, I figured it out. And she's like, thanks for ruining the movie for me. Appreciate that. So it was kind of like that moment where I figured out, I said, okay, you know, I'm here for my to get well, to get help. I get where you're going with that, and I don't see where it's antagonistic to the belief that you brought up earlier, but okay. And then he kind of began to argue with me, and he made me feel really stupid. And so in my mind, I got him like in a triangle hold and was like just like doing this and you know, maybe would whisper that Jesus loved him, and do you really know Jesus, and have you ever believed on him because you're about to meet him or whatever. But I realize, you know, honestly that I shouldn't do that, because you shouldn't force people to get saved. But, you know, it was right in that moment, right? You don't have to know it all to answer the call. There'll always be questions that you can't answer. There'll always be moments beyond your education. There'll always be moments. He just said, hey, will you follow me? He rolls up on these guys with this amazing attitude. I mean, you know, unexpectedly. Some of you are there with Jesus today. He rolls up on them sometimes when things are going well. I think it was going well for them. But sometimes he rolls up on you when you're a little older and you wish it had been younger, but you're older. I mean, he's rolling up on you with this great attitude that you don't have to know it all to answer the call. I love this. Sometimes it's when you're in transition. Sometimes it's when you're numb, because we think there's this moment that spiritual things are the most important, or that I just kind of got to put everything on hold with Jesus or God until I have my life together. And God is saying, no, listen, man, you don't have to know it all to answer the call. And I'm rolling up on you right where you're at. Some of you, Jesus is rolling up on your life and you're maxed out. Some of you, it's you're struggling. Some of you, it's just a normal day. It's a normal spot. It's the grind. And you're just right there. And so he rolls up with this amazing attitude, and this is what I want you to grab today, that we get to know Jesus as we practice making a difference in someone else's life who doesn't know Jesus. And I may have worded that different. I get to know Jesus as I practice making a difference in someone else's life that doesn't know Jesus. We're rolling back. I mean, we're talking before the disciples were messing up why Jesus came. This is this decisive moment. He comes up to them. They would eventually, he would be always be telling them, listen, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. I'm the Messiah. And all they heard were like, you're going to be awesome and I'm going to make you a leader. And so they were always missing the message, but this is before any of that. He's saying, listen, there's this decisive moment that you and I stop and consider the claims of Christ, that he died and rose again. And that if you, however long that it takes you to wrestle through with that, that God is hoping that at some point you will put your faith in his son, Jesus Christ, and invite him into your life, believe on him, just like Pete and Andrew did. And then what you see immediately, he modeled it, as soon as they begin following him, he leads them right to James and John and says, let me show you how this is done. Like, I came to you guys and I said, you don't have to know it all to obey the call, and that's my spirit. I'm meeting you right where you're at, and follow me, which means to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, to become a Christ follower. Guys, that's what it's about. And then I'm just going to show you what it's about after that, helping other people that don't know Jesus Christ. That's the whole mission. That's everything that Christ wanted for our lives. We serve to help people to discover Jesus Christ. There are people serving you right now, amazing people serving all through the theaters to help you hear a message about Jesus. Guys on the tech team, people in the kids ministry, the greeters helped you feel welcome. Hospitality team, all of that serving to help you discover Jesus or discover more about Jesus. We do life groups to help people grow. We need people to be in life groups more now than ever in this move. This move has become a restart for us in another facility that is more portable than we've been in years. And we need life groups more than ever. I brought in a friend of mine to help kind of restructure, and I'm trying to take his advice and not push back too much on what he's doing. And some of you are going to be a part of that, and all of you will at some point. But, you know, we're doing all of that not because that's what's important. And even though I want people to be connected, I want to be connected, we do all of that so that we can know Jesus more effectively and help other people who don't know Jesus come to know Jesus. See, we don't gather, and I don't want you to feel bad. I want you, every life group, I hope you feel like it's family. I hope you feel connected, even if at the beginning it's just like a Bible study. That's awesome too. I want you to get everything that you can. But the reason we do that is to equip you and help you and connect you so that you will be able to go out and help more people find Jesus Christ. We have gatherings to encourage. We do all of these things, but we do them in the context of someone discovering Jesus that doesn't know Jesus. So, Jay, why do I grow? Why am I left here? Why don't I, after I accept Christ, why don't I go straight to be with him? Because God's plan for you is to help other people that don't know him. And as you read your Bible, you discover this. And if you're a Christ follower, you already know this. You won't always be at your best. You're not going to always feel spiritual. You're always going to have questions, frustrations, failures, misunderstandings. It's not always easy. Not everybody wants Jesus. I bet you've invited people to LifePoint before that have gotten offended. I have. I bet you have invited people to know about Jesus Christ, whether it's you telling them or at a place like this, it may have been another church even, and I bet that they said they would come and they didn't, or they gave you excuses or whatever. It's not always easy. And because of that, what we do is we take one thing that is very important, like serving or life groups or social justice, and we make it the thing, because that's what we like, and we huddle with other people that are like us, and then we kind of set ourselves up against everybody that's not like us. And God says, listen, I want you to go back to this moment with me. I want you to go back to this moment with me. I know that you're tempted. I want you to go back to this moment because I know that you get lonely and it crowds it out. I want you to go back to this moment because I know you're in pain over the loss. But I want you to go back to this moment and I want to work through all of that pain and I want to help you with everything in your life. But here is the context. Jesus would say to everyone, because he said it to guys, this wasn't like a Bible study. These were guys that didn't know him. He said, follow me. What he was saying is believe on me in a specific moment. Trust me in a specific moment. And then you are going to walk with me, Jesus says. You and I are going to do life together. You and I are going to check out the Bible together. You and I are going to pray together. You and I, Jesus would say, are going to gather with other people that are believers together. And the reason that we do it is not to feel better, although we will feel better. It's not just to get healing, although we will get healing. It's not just to move forward, which is my favorite part, although we will move forward. It's so other people that don't know Jesus will come to know Jesus. And we've moved into this facility. We have amazing team members. The people that have helped make this possible, for you, those of you that are guests, are the best people you're ever going to serve Christ with. And I mean that. They're the most beautiful, sweet-spirited, amazingly gifted. They're amazing. But the context of all of this, unloading a trailer on Sunday morning, pulling the trailer on Sunday morning, which I have the privilege of doing sometimes, Sam's not here, is so other people will know Jesus. And Jesus says, I want you to grow with me as you go with me. And we're like, no, Jesus, that is uncomfortable. I don't like that. Nobody, the only people, can we just accept something really quick? Can I just like chase down a trail for a minute? Like the only people that love change are newborns, like with dirty diapers. That's the only people that like change. Nobody else likes change. I like what I like. I like my way like you like your way. I like my restaurant like you like your restaurant. I like certain things like you. I mean, nobody's like, hey, let's change every day. But God brings change into our life as we follow him. He said, Andrew, come here. Two different personalities. One's really introverted, one's really extroverted. I said, listen, I want you to follow me. We're going to journey together. He didn't tell them to be trouble-free. He didn't tell them about it. I mean, they would all eventually die for their faith. They would all eventually deny him before he rose again. I mean, he didn't tell them any of that. He just said, listen, I want you to follow me. I want you to believe on me. And as we journey together, you're going to get to know me. God says. And we're like, no, wait a minute. So we assume a lot, you know. Like a lot of you even today, you're probably assuming things. Like you're assuming the tech team are all ballers. I mean, that's probably one of your assumptions today. You're probably looking up here at me and assuming at one time, I bet Pastor Jamie was a male model at one time, you know. That hurts that you laugh. That hurts that you laugh at that. That hurts. We make a lot of assumptions. We assume, all right, Jesus, I'm gonna ask you my life, and then it's only gonna be about me attending service, and it's only gonna be about me reading my Bible or listening to preachers on podcasts. And we just make all these assumptions, we get ourselves all boxed in. And Jesus never said any of that. We all have our favorite programming. As we restructure, I'm so thankful that for the people that are gonna be helping doing that, and like we said, it's gonna be more of us involved, but it's gonna be so much better. But we don't do any of that to alleviate pressure off me or so we look better. It's so people can discover Jesus and they can begin to walk with Jesus. As they begin to walk with Jesus, they help other people find Jesus. He didn't say, hold up and, you know, and then when the spiritual moment, you'll blossom and then go reach people for me. He said, listen, I want you to follow me. And here's how it works. I want to follow you. Oh, you don't know anything? Okay, let's get these people that don't know anything anywhere. Let's get them to go with us, okay? And you don't know anything? Okay, you follow us too. And I'm going to show you stuff. And that's the way it is for life. Never becoming an expert. Never knowing it all. Just answering the call. Just saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And I want you to use my life to help other people follow you, whatever that looks like. And no more observational Christianity in our lives. Never was meant to be. Let's pray. I wonder if you're here today. You're like I was. You come to services, maybe your whole life. Maybe you've been reading the Bible. You've been listening to other pastors on the radio. Today you just realize, I need Jesus. I need to accept Christ in my life. Right where you're seated, you can do that. Just with our heads bowed, right where you're seated. You say, Jay, I want to receive Christ into my life, just right where you're seated. Just say this to him. Say, Jesus, I believe you died and rose again for me. I invite you into my heart and life to be my Savior and my God. In your name, Jesus. Amen. With our heads bowed, if you accepted Christ, maybe rededicated your life to Christ, let us know that on the communication card. But as the team prepares, or as Joel prepares, just want to pray for my fellow Christian friends. If you just receive Christ, you're in on that prayer too. Guys, before we pray, I know that how easy it is to get sidetracked. This message is not from anywhere but my own journey. I understand what it's like to get frustrated. I understand what it's like to focus on things that don't matter. Let your heart be torn and jealousy set in, or bitterness or frustration. I know what it's like to let people hurt you and let you down, but I wanted to join, I wanted you to join me today and just seeing what this thing's about and why we do what we do and how it really works, because we've made it kind of like a classroom where you observe until you decide you want to do something. There's always these multiple conversations that are based on that. And Jesus just said, follow me. And it gets messy. You don't feel like it sometimes. That's okay. There's failures along the way. It's part of it. But what I want you to know today, God is crazy about you. You matter to him. You don't have to know it all to walk in faith, take steps of faith. Jesus just invites you to know him and help other people know him. Make a difference. Maybe for you, Christ follower, I think it was maybe more for Jesus followers maybe than anybody else today. And I want to pray for you because I love and appreciate you, and we're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Father, bless my friends. Encourage and empower them. Speak truth to them and life to them. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know that they can fulfill your mission in their lives, that their lives are going to be messy and never perfect, that they're going to have struggles and secrets that come out, that they're going to have all of these things, Father, that they wrestle with, that they can bring them to you. Father, would you begin as we restart this church again in a new location? Would you begin to put the people and the systems and the things in place that allows us to connect? Would you create community in our church? In Jesus' name.